Okay, call to order. This is the regular board meeting of November 19th, 2025 at 5 p.m. Roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Hatley.
Here.
Commissioner Mastalotto.
Here.
Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Goodson.
Here.
All here.
Okay, let's stand for the salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, acknowledgement of visitors. No one in the lobby. Is there anyone online?
Just Ryan.
Okay. Board meeting minutes.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we included the board meeting minutes from October 28th in your packet. If there was any questions or any mistakes that you guys saw, you can let me know now and we'll fix them. Or I'll answer the questions.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
So carried.
Authorization of warrants. Who was the lucky commissioner?
I don't know. The warrants were all warrants were in order. Warrants paid at this meeting are numbers 30722 through 30763 in the amount of $312,522.61. Commissioner's checks numbers 11720 through 11725 and electronic fund transfers.
Does anybody have any questions? Is there a second for his motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Fiscal report?
Yes, Madam Chair. So coming to the end of our audit, we will bring the final audit to you guys next month in December. So that's why we don't have the fiscal statements here available, but the bank reconciliations are. If there's any questions on those, I can answer them. If not, then we will provide the rest of the missing fiscal statements next month, and we will have the audit to report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
No. Nope.
Attorney's report.
Hi, good evening, Chair and board members. I wanted to take a minute, if it's okay, to update you on a new amendment to the Brown Act. You're all familiar with the Brown Act and the transparency open meeting laws, a part of that. It's actually just recently the governor signed SB 707, which makes some changes to it. The biggest changes are for jurisdictions bigger than SCORE, so it doesn't, those modifications will not be required for SCORE, such as you have to have teleconferencing, which you already do, but there's some requirements that other cities and other special districts will have to follow. What you will have to follow, just to highlight the changes briefly, there is statutory authority for if the board members want to participate remotely. There's certain situations where you can do that now, that is in the code, such as health issues or other emergencies. In addition to, you know, you can always come in remotely if we put your address on the form, but you don't have to do it in certain requirements if you have like a health issue. There's some ADA requirements now. If you have an ADA issue as a board member, you can always appear remotely as a reasonable accommodation. That doesn't appear to be impactful of this board at this time. The other changes is any executive salary, so any department head level type individual, if you change their salary, you've got to give an oral presentation about that in the board meeting. You can't just say, I move to adjust the salary. We're going to actually make a report of what that dollar amount is. There's some new requirements on how to deal with disruptive participants. Well, tonight you don't even have any participants, but that's not really an issue for SCORE. But if you did, it would tell the chairperson how to handle having someone depart the meeting. Since I'm usually there on the call, I could walk you through that if it ever became relevant. For special meetings, which we do on occasion, you always have to provide for an opportunity for public comment. That had not been the case before. You now have to give public comment even for non-agendized items. You also cannot do, the 24-hour requirement is the same. There is now a right for people to record your meetings. So if someone comes into the meeting and wants to hold up their camera and record what you're doing, they're allowed to do that. Also, social media wise, it used to be you could not comment or even like another board member's social media post related to SCORE business. You now can do that. You just can't piggyback on somebody else. So a majority of you couldn't comment on a social media post, but you can comment. One person can comment on another's post. We also have to give you the Brown Act. Literally, we're required on after January 1st to give each board member a physical copy of the Brown Act. So General Manager Sturtevant will make sure they get that. I think that's something we could even do at the next board meeting.
Yep.
And that's the last that applies. I just want to take a minute to let you know about that update in law. Sorry I went over those quickly, and there's more to it. I could send you the memo so you have what our firm put out, but are there any immediate questions for me about that?
I included the memo in their packet, so they already have it.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I do have a question. I'm looking at this over, and I don't know where they set the benchmark, say, certain populations of 30,000 or more, or the county of 6,000 or more. What was the impetus for this population number and how you have to conform to it? I don't understand. What makes this all different?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer to it. The legislation in its infinite wisdom at the state level thought that was the threshold. So I don't know.
Yeah, I did. And the 1,000 employee full-time equivalent has different issues. And it's like, are we running three different governments here? I mean, it's like, okay. Appreciate this update, though. It's very informative.
I have one quick question, Ryan. So if a board member is participating remotely due to ADA issues or health issues, and we have a closed session item, are they able to participate in closed session?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. We also have a policy if you're out of the area. I was in Washington and had to attend a council meeting, and we allow that, not, I mean, just because of other conflicts going on. It's kind of interesting to do it that way. And then the vice mayor had to recuse himself, so I had to run the meeting from Washington, which was a little weird, but I wasn't planning to do that. So it's just interesting how the technology is actually helping us get things moved along instead of delaying.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the, I mean, if it's a good thing, I think that's probably it.
So Ryan, when like say Commissioner Salvucci goes to Massachusetts to visit his mom like he does sometimes, we just need to put his address that he's going to be at attending on our agenda?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And in theory, you let the member of the public come in and watch him participate from wherever he is in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Did they give any direction on when a board records a meeting, do they have to put it on YouTube or keep the recording for a certain period of time or whatever? What's the scale on that issue?
No, I mean, there are retention requirements for documents. So whatever the retention requirement is for the recording, I don't know the exact amount of time. It's obviously, it could be a big storage issue if you have to record a lot of different things online, but it doesn't say in this code how long that is. You just would defer to your retention criteria.
Because we put every meeting on YouTube as a matter of convenience. Mm-hmm. And it was funny one night, Gordon Ando was asked, you know, about the YouTube videos. He said, why would I want to watch it again? I already lived through it once.
Yeah.
I said, I'll never forget that call. He's like, well, what do I want to see that again for? thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Let's move on to the manager's report.
Yes, Madam Chair. So no operational issues to report this month. Solar project is still underway and moving forward. Plant upgrade, same thing. Moving forward, we had a couple meetings this week about some different constructability issues that they were having as far as bypassing or diverting parts of the plant, but we got that hammered out. Rudy Creek Pump Station, we hosted a job walk on Wednesday the 12th for that. Manager Boucher from Thermalito was there. That was good. That went well. Had some good questions. Had a good turnout. Looks like we'll have a pretty competitive bid. One thing I do need to inform you guys on is I had discussed this with the Commissioner Mastalotto, our chairwoman, and Attorney Jones, is when we put the bid out, Jacobs Engineering is who we paid to, you know, do all, set all that up, bid phase services. They used some boilerplate language in their, in the specs that basically said that you had to have qualifying experience, had to be one job of at least $5 million at a wastewater treatment plant in the last 5 years. Well, that nixed out our local guy here, Duke Sherwood Contracting. They didn't have anything in that. So I, and then we actually, the question was brought up by two other contractors at the meeting, and they were kind of in the same size category as Duke Sherwood. And they're like, we, you know, we built 30 lift stations, but we've just not done any at that level. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done them at this level that you're asking for. So anyways, so I felt it prudent to talk to Ryan and Commissioner Mastalotto, and I just felt like, you know, if our best and brightest here in town don't even have an opportunity to bid, I don't like that. No. They should at least have an opportunity to bid. So I ran it because I didn't have enough time. So I ran it by the chairwoman. She was good with it. So we dropped that thing down to $2.5 million requirement so that we could have, you know,
local
guys compete, or local companies compete. And also, I think it'll give us a more more competitive bid. Sure. Because at the $5 million, you're knocking a lot of people out. Right. It's like Myers, who's doing our upgrade, is like, you know, that size of company to come in and do this. And our experience with them is they're pricier than than our others. Yeah. So, so anyways, I wanted to inform you on that, Rudy Creek. I know, and I kind of felt uncomfortable making that decision by myself without you guys. But so that's why I ran it through the attorney and ran it through the chairwoman.
No.
But I figured you guys would be on board with that just from our previous discussions about this type of stuff. So,
definitely.
Score. So I got some what could be considered bad news, and Micah can expound a little bit more on it. But I'll give you my take. So we were removed from the fundable list for SRF, that's the State Revolving Funds Loan Program for California. Their plan is to put us back on after we hash out some stuff, but one of the reasons that we got removed is because they wanted the three entities to sign the pledge agreement that your reserves would be pledged to pay off the loan. We told them that's probably a non-starter, and yeah, I got that from your managers, and because that then limits, say, Loa PUD's ability to go get a loan. You can't get a loan if you're already on the books for a $30 million loan, right? So, and we're trying to work through the state with that, like, hey, we have an agreement essentially already that says they're going to pay their bills. That's the JPA agreement. Uh-huh. That it's in there. They're legally bound to pay their bills. Uh-huh. We use the bills to pay this. So we think we'll get through it. But as of right now, they're removing us from the list. Uh-huh. We thought that was premature too, because I was like, man, I can't even take this. You haven't given me terms, length of time, nothing. They've given me nothing. So it's like, you want me to go sell my board on extending the JPA agreement and pledging their reserves to this,
right?
And they don't even know what it is, you know. So I felt like they were way cart before the horse on that. So anyways, we're working through that, and I'll bring more updates. But if they're going to stick to that, then we might have to think about looking at a private lender.
Right.
That's going to look at SCORE as its own personal, its own private entity. And go that way. I haven't started researching down that avenue yet. I will. I've gotten some contacts. I know my manager Goyer over at Loa PUD had some people reach out to him about loans, so he gave me their contacts, and so I'll start kind of figuring that process out. But as of right now, their plan is by the end of this month to take us off the funding list, which is funny because we never were approved for funding yet anyway, so I don't understand. But Micah has a little bit more details. If you guys had any actual specific questions, I could probably fill in that, but that's the gist of it. The next one I have on here is, so we've been working with Thermalito Water Sewer on the state came to both Thermalito Water Sewer and SCORE and said, hey, we wanna get Golden Feather Mobile Home Park connected into the system. They have a failing treatment system that they're in charge of that's polluting the Feather River. So, you know, we were like, sounds good. We'll do whatever, you know, we can without spending our money. It's not, you know, he's a private business, so. So anyways, the state came in and had some money for planning. They've been working with Thermalito Water Sewer, Chris Heindel over there, their engineer. And somehow they've spent all the money before we've done any assessments or any tests. So now we're at the point where they want these two assessments done on the pipe. One would be a ball that's a sensor that would shoot down the pipe, read the pipes, tell us if there's any grit in the pipe, if there's any giant holes in the pipe, things like that. Any, if there's too many turns in the pipe.
Assess flow conditions.
Yes, assess flow conditions. The other study, that one, and I don't have the numbers, I'll bring them next month if you guys direct me to do that. The other study would be a bracelet thing. It basically goes around the pipe and it tests the thickness of the pipe. So I want to rewind this. Some of you guys were not on the board at the time in 2021 when we had a failure on the bridge. Highway 162 bridge, we had a failure in that pipe. It leaked. Luckily, it didn't get in the river, but it did leak underneath the bridge. We got it cleaned up. Duke Sherwood came in, patched it up, whatever. At that time, the board wanted me to get assessment of that pipeline to make sure that that could not happen again, which made total sense. Right after that is when the state came to us with this thought on Golden Feather. So me and Manager Boucher over at Thermalito figured, hey, we might be able to get the state to pay for this assessment, because we'll tell them we need it, or you can't bring in Golden Feather, right? So that's the plan, that's where we got, that's why we are to this point. Now they've spent all the money. So my marching orders from 2021, as far as I understand, still from you guys, was to make sure that that assessment was done. The only reason it's not done yet is because I was waiting to see if I could get somebody else to pay for it. So here we are. You guys need to make a decision. Do you want the assessment done? It's about 120K. I'll bring the full package next month so you guys can, you know, consider it, look at it, get all the details on it. That's two studies. Comes out to about 120K. I did not budget for that this year. I would have to do a mid-year budget change, which not a big deal if you guys want to do that. I personally think that if you guys did want to push forward, I don't think we should pay for both studies. The bracelet study will tell us the integrity of our pipe. The other study is going to tell you flow, capacity, those things. That's very important. I'm not saying we don't need to know that. To me, that's the person that's hooking on's responsibility to figure out how to mitigate the system for them. So essentially, in a normal situation, if this wasn't happening, Golden Feather was a new development and they wanted to, hey, we were gonna come in with 100 units, we would take their connection fees and figure out how to make it work for them, right? We'd use that money to fix the pipe, do the assessment, whatever we needed to do. We're not guaranteed that that's happening. Mm-hmm. The state's already out of money on the first part of it. I'm not confident that they're gonna have the money to hook them, to pay us $1 million for fees to hook us up. If they did, we could reimburse ourselves out of this 120 grand. We could take it right out of their connection fees, reimburse score, we're whole, no problem. If they don't, we're out the 120 grand, but we do have a pipe assessment. We know where we're at. And so I'm kind of 50. I think we should probably do at least the bracelet assessment, because that's the marching orders you guys gave me in 2021. So I have not forgotten that. It's probably some great information to come out of the other one as well. At this point in time, unless we know, we're probably in a standstill in development over there until we totally figure it out. So it's probably, it wouldn't be wasted money. I just kind of don't like the idea of SCORE and SCORE's fee payers paying for a private business
To connect.
So it's essentially, it's a, for me, it's just, we don't do that for anybody else. Mm-hmm. Now, if they never connect, I guess we wouldn't be doing it for them. We'd be doing it to assess the system, right? If they do connect, we could take the money back out of their connection fees. So
what type of pipe is it?
It is ductile iron. So there's two thoughts of what happened last time. Failure of a gas relief, an air relief valve. So as the water gets pumped up and it crests the bridge and it breaks gravity, then you start to get air. And so air, as the water goes down, air will roll back up the pipe. And if the air relief doesn't let it relieve, then you get a water hammer. And then that's where it could have blown out the side of the pipe. I personally think, and this is totally bro science, but I personally think that it got hit. Something happened to the pipe during construction, because ductile iron pipe is iron pipe on the outside with concrete lined on the inside. For water to get behind the concrete and then rot out the iron pipe is what happened on the bridge. I think there had to be a structural issue in the concrete in the pipe. I don't think that could have happened from the air relief valve. That's not scientific. That's just 25 years of in this business telling you what I think. So that's why I think the bracelet would probably be the one, because if they bang the pipe around during construction, we might find that there's more deficiencies in the pipe.
Does it tell us where the deficiency is in the pipe?
It will. Oh, well, the bracelet one is pretty specific.
It's kind of a spot
right?
check.
They're gonna test it a couple places in the bridge, mm-hmm. and then they're gonna dig a couple pits outside the bridge and test it there. Mm-hmm. The ball one is pretty cool. You just throw it down the pipe and it pumps mm-hmm. it to the plant, and it takes a gazillion little pictures.
Whether the pipe went out around or not.
Yeah.
The thickness of you're saying the water gets behind the concrete, somebody could have hit it with a hammer, and when that piece of concrete on the inside falls off, it's going to rust. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even if you drill a hole and then you don't seal it properly, like if the air valve was put in not correctly, and the water got in behind the concrete, again, you have it rot, you know, it's going to mm-hmm. rust and rot.
And just for your information, the air valve's at the top and towards the center of the bridge, and the pipe rot was down
outside the bridge,
just on the outside of the bridge. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could be forks from, you know, somebody moving the pipe or grabbing the pipe and just knock the concrete off the inside. Well, once you put the pipe together, you don't see.
You don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So it's like a skim coat of concrete.
I don't think it's a waste of money by any means. I think we should probably do at least one of them. I could see the value in doing both. I just don't really like using our money for stuff that's mm-hmm. not necessarily our thing. But
can I chime in?
You 100%.
So we talked about this at our meeting yesterday, and it was brought up that we'd be talking about it today. So with you saying that the state has ran through the funds, from what we're understanding is that with the loan or the grant mm-hmm. or for it, may be able to pay that 120, but we don't know.
Not yet. A couple
it's
weeks.
Going up in the air.
Yeah.
So it's this timeline of they may pay it, but then they may not. So it's this weird issue. We talked, we thought both were good. The strap that goes over it, it tests the integrity of the line, would be just for the line under the bridge. The ball that does it would be the entire force main.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from wherever they drop it in, and it would go all the way through the entire force main line.
Yep.
So a lot longer span to check all the integrity
of
the entire line.
There's no way we can camera that line.
Force main, so
it's tough. We could. What we'd have to do is we'd have to dig it up and then put in take like a valve box or something, rip the guts of the valve out so you just had a blind flange on the top, and then open that up and drop your camera in there and then run it up there like that. But it's not meant to have that happen because it's a force main.
Mm-hmm. You have to bypass while that's
you got to keep it running.
And these sensor balls, they're actually from the oil and gas industry because they're all force main. That nothing's gravity like in sewer. So that's the only way they can inspect their pipes is with those sensors. So it's really cool technology. I mean, it should give us a good idea what's going on in that pipe, and it, you know, probably make me sleep better at night if I knew it was 100% solid. But it's just the principle of spending the money. And that's why I didn't bring it. That's why it's not on this agenda, because I'm hoping that in a couple weeks they say we'll pay for it.
And so is there a possibility that we could be reimbursed later on?
If they connect, we'll 100% get reimbursed because we'll take it right out of their connection fees. So, but that, you know, and originally when the state came, they said, hey, we're going to do two grants, mm-hmm. like a planning grant, which is the part that we're on right now, that we're using the money that's almost dry. And then they were supposed to give a construction grant, totaling $10 million between the two. Between me and Jamie, we figured that I should get it done. Mm-hmm. But that also is in on-site improvements for the mobile home park too. They have to pay for that. So they got to pay scores connection fees, which mm-hmm. would be $600,000+. And then Thermalito's connection fees, which would be $400,000+. So there's $1 million out of that. Plus the construction to get over to the lift station. So I think they're going to be cutting it close on the $10 million, to mm-hmm. be honest. And so that would be my only concern, is that we go through this, we spend all this money, and then the state goes, we're broke. Sorry, and you're out, you know. Essentially what just happened, we went and spent all this money on CLA and the accounting and all this stuff, and now the state's like, you're off the list. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, we're only doing this. Wow. Now, with that said, we did find it's been worthwhile for scores, finances. CLA. It's been nice. So we found some things that were getting categorized in different areas and whatever. So that was actually a good spend. But to my point was, we did a bunch of stuff for the state, and then they bailed on us, mm-hmm. you know, and so I'm worried that that's going to happen again. But this is just for information this month. I'll bring the actual packets and the cost and everything next month for if that's what's required. And then you guys can make the call next month. But I just wanted you guys to have a heads up and a good amount of time to think. Yeah, 100%.
So if there is another compromise in the line, are we penalized with the state?
No, we'd have to dig it up and fix it.
Okay, but so they say, okay, you had this compromise of that line, we're going to penalize you for not taking, we don't have penalties?
I mean, if we did this study and then we found that there was a deficiency and then we ignored it and then it blew out and like squirted into the Feather River, yeah, I'm sure I'd go to jail probably.
Okay.
yeah, I mean, because that's just pure neglect on my part. Like, you know, so yeah, I'd probably go to jail to like real honest with you. I would not allow that to happen.
So it didn't spill in the Feather River the first time. If it broke in the middle and spilled in the Feather River, do we have penalties for sewage going into
yeah.
it?
Oh, potentially.
Yeah, we'd have got fined 100%. Yeah, if we'd have leaked into the river, yeah, there's no way. And it wasn't a whole bunch, and so we were able to we didn't get any monetary fine, even though like 100 so gallons went on the ground. But yeah, if it would have went in the river, CNN probably would have been here. you know, like yeah, it's Feather River. It's, you know, it's an important thing. That's the head of the freaking California Water Project. So
yes, it's almost worthwhile to get it done.
It probably is. I just don't like the taste of it, but you know.
Are you going to show us both belting and?
Yeah, we'll show. We'll bring the whole package to you. We'll bring the whole
that
package to
like
you.
What's going on inside the pipe?
So let's see, I gotta finish this out.
If they drop the ball, just to, you know.
we hosted another JPA / county meeting. It's called the Oroville Sewer Group. We did that on November 6th to discuss future projects and development in the county. From Thermalito, we had Manager Boucher and District Engineer Heindel. I had a separate meeting on with Jamie and Chris on the SRF program that I just updated you guys on, us getting pulled out of that. Went to City of Oroville, Jamie McGuire and Alyssa Stutz came to the Oroville Sewer Group meeting. I also informed them of the SRF issue. And then same thing, Oroville Sewer Group meeting was attended by Dave Goyer and Field Operations Supervisor Vince Victorino. See, I got that right for you, Commissioner Salvucci. Dave was at the same, Manager Goyer was at the same meeting that we informed Thermalito of the SRF program, so they know as well. So that's all I got, unless you guys got any questions for me.
Any questions?
Sure question. On Sunday night, did you lose power?
I don't believe so.
Not this weekend. I think the weekend before we did.
I got a call from, Oroflex, the old Oroflex facility, and they lost power at 1:00 in the morning. It was off until 7:00. And I'm trying to figure if it was area-wide or just them.
Yeah. We definitely didn't have one. Our generator didn't run for 6 hours. If we had anything here, it was a blip.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, we didn't have any long generator runtime or outage.
Sand plant also lost power and they had to send everybody home. So I'm just trying to. I'm going to have a meeting with PG&E on Friday and I'm just trying to see how big a thing that was.
Yeah.
For them, when their extruder power shuts off, they have a huge problem with cleaning out the extruder because all the plastic melts right into the.
Just stays in there. Yeah.
And it's like hours and hours to clean it out. Plus, they got to send everybody home. So they're having a real tough time with a lot of things. In addition to, if you go into Walmart now, there's no more plastic bags.
Yeah, it's all
paper. New state law, it's all paper.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I go, what? You didn't have any? So
still have to pay for those?
Yes, well, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
You're probably 20 now.
But I was just, they're actually laying off the 19th of next month, 24 positions.
No good. So I will, tomorrow, I'll have Mitch, the foreman, look at the power log.
Okay.
Because we have monitoring.
Oh, I know we didn't lose power this weekend. I'm certain we lost power the weekend before.
Okay.
That was when we had the issues with the flow meter and the.
I just want to see if we had a blip.
Yeah, we might have had a blip.
So I'll text you or something and give you whatever information I can dig up.
Like I said, I'm going to chat with them and say, hey, you know, we got a company that's struggling right now, and if you're going to shut them down on a spot basis, let everybody know.
Yeah.
Because they also have the other problem. They put in backup generators, but PG&E won't let them run the gas because their engineers say the gas lines aren't big enough. So it's like they got the generator sitting there and they can't run them. So it's a little difficult.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
So there's no visitor comments. Does any of the commissioners have comments? Dave, do you have anything else?
I'm going to pass something out here. You have one of these, just pass those along. This is one of the things I got from the biomass conversation. It's kind of a nice one-piece handout that explains what it's all about, what the advantages are, and why it's a benefit to the community. The big thing that I learned is having this in our local area creates a whole other bioeconomy. There's other options, so it's a pretty big deal. And we also have another public workshop on the 8th of December at the
Stream
Charter School. The folks that are bringing this will have to be there for conversations about, you know, the topic. And the conference, I realized that it's a big deal. It's huge. And these folks are really going to give us a really clean burning plant. So just want to share that information and just let everybody be a heads up to it, because it's going to affect us all. We've had a fair amount of people tell us that it's going to kill everybody. And one comment at the council meeting was, all you want to do is just contaminate it so you can have a bunch of ill people to fill up and open up your hospital for them.
That's a good business plan.
Yeah.
I looked at it. Did you say what you said?
Okay.
Yeah. Any comments from this side of the room?
Nope.
Rich, any?
Nope.
Okay, any staff comments?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So before we're adjourned, our meeting is taking place next month on December 17th at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
And that's a Wednesday. So make sure you mark your calendars.
Okay. Yep.
And
December 17th at 11 a.m. We'll have prime rib.
Yeah, it's good.
Shrimp,
really?
Shrimp.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
We're doing
December 17th
at 11
o'clock.
Yeah, that meeting will be at 11. It probably, well, who knows? It might be a longer one, but hopefully it won't be. And then we'll eat right after. And then we're getting, who is it? What is the, we're getting, I forget the.
Catering?
Yeah.
I have to show this. You know, we have the problem of flooding at Riverbend Apartments there at Ted Mountain. And, the contractors, when they hooked up to our city drainage system, they put a smaller pipe inside of our bigger 24-inch.
And then they let it
run. I mean, does that speak to...
Is that a closed session?
No, this is open now. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, no, we're adjourned.
Yes.
5:31.
Cool.
Yeah, that's by my house. That's why the road's always flooded.
All right. Good night, Glenn. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Huh? Thank you. Next meeting.
Well, the engineer certainly is at fault.
That's a lot smaller.
So you wonder why it's...
Can I get a signature from...